Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. My lovely wife Patricia chose the following study out of several studies that were previously used on a radio program. It was one of my last choices, however, realizing that perhaps her discernment of what people need to hear the most is better than mine, the following was agreed upon. I trust that it will benefit you and that we will learn from His Word how that we might better fulfill the commandment of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. What a refreshing feeling to realize that our God has so richly blessed us this day. Did you ever just take the time to thank God for the many blessings of this life? He rains His blessings down upon the just and upon the unjust. Saddam Hussein enjoys life and good health. He's blessed with rain and sunshine. He has eyes to behold the many wonders of God's magnificent creation. No matter who we are recipients of untold numbers of daily blessings by Almighty God. No matter what life has dealt us, we have so many things to thank God for each and every day. Did you ever stop to realize that it is by God's grace that we have all that we have, from the very breath of life that God breathes into all living at their creation, to our daily needs such as water and food? The air that we breathe, God has made up of various types of gases and formulated it to just the right mixture so that we can breathe and have life. He created our bodies with such intricacy and precision that we can enjoy the many functions of it, including the five senses of the body. And with these senses, we can realize the many other wonders of His creation. By taking the time to behold a small portion of His infinite creation that we are able, we realize that He's an infinite God. By looking on the many beauties of His wonderful creation, we realize that He's a loving and gentle God. We can learn much about our God even without the Holy Scriptures. Indeed, we realize God's abundant grace by simply looking around us and beholding the wonders of this life. When we think about this, it's hard for us to understand why people complain so much. Did you ever stop to think what we as humans complain so much about? Our dissatisfaction and our complaining are usually either because we don't have something or because some blessing that we did have has been taken away. This could range from anything in the physical realm to the spiritual. Whether it be health, our abundance of daily food and shelter, love, joy, or peace, we need to learn not to take anything for granted. We need to realize that to have these things is a blessing from God. I wonder how many of us have truly thanked God from the heart for what we do have. So often our outlook is one of expecting these blessings and being grieved if we don't have them. Instead, we should have an outlook of thanksgiving and praise on a daily basis for God's abundant riches that He has bestowed upon us. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" The Scripture also says in Romans 9 and 20, "O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" I think when we fully realize that it is God who gives life, and all that we have in this life is from Him, we then can understand that God also has the right to take away that which He has given. We need to learn to focus our attention on what we do have rather than on what we don't have. Even if life itself is taken away from a loved one or a family member, we should thank God for the time we had to be with that person and not continually grieve over the time that we don't have to be with them. I don't mean to say that we shouldn't grieve over the death of a loved one. I only mean that we need to get over our grief and refocus on how God has blessed us with the time that we did have with them. God never promised to give us all a life of 90 years with perfect health. The following is a poem by J. Harvey Daly. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. God hath not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, and light for the way. Grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. I believe that sometimes we are to God as children are to us. After we have fed and clothed them and given them a nice place to live and plenty of toys, they continually cry for something else. My father used to tell me, "If you don't stop your crying, I'll give you something to cry about," and I no doubt deserved it. I believe that just as an unthankful child needs to have some of the toys that he has taken away, we also at times need to suffer loss in order to better learn appreciation for what we do have. We tend to take for granted many things that are necessary to sustain life until we're without them. I am very thankful for my legs. For what? Well, for my legs. Why am I thankful for my legs? Well, truthfully, I probably wouldn't be thankful for my legs, except I had a friend once that didn't have any legs. My friend, who was also blind, had to completely depend on other people for such things as preparing meals and bathing. My friend had to take a lot of different medicines and frequent doctors and sometimes hospitals. I've only been to a doctor a few times in my entire life, and I seldom take medicine. Now, if my friend would have gotten new legs and eyes as good as mine, he likely would have thanked God and praised God the remainder of his life for such good legs and eyes. He knows what it's like not to have them. Now, my friend, before he died, was a living testimony that legs and eyes are not necessary to sustain life. How much more thankful should you and I be for our daily bread, for water and air, for the many other things that are necessary to sustain life. I think my most beneficial experience has been to live and work in Mexico among the poor. Patricia and I have learned to have a heartfelt gratitude for such things as running water and washing machines. As Americans, we tend to take for granted so many things that to most people in poor countries are a luxury or are non-existent. Physically speaking, as Americans, we are all quite wealthy and in need of little or nothing, yet somehow Satan has blinded us to this. We have in Mexico, as well as many other countries, many brothers and sisters in Christ that do not have what you and I would consider basic necessities. I have had the privilege to help build a one-room 12-foot by 12-foot shack for a family of six. Except for the church helping, it would have a dirt floor. The same family once went a week with only corn tortillas to eat and water to drink. The ironic thing about this is that these people don't complain near as much as we do. As Americans, we are all rich. Riches tend to cause us to be spoiled and not appreciate the small things in life because we're too busy trying to obtain bigger and better things. In fact, we really should be genuinely grateful that we have plenty of food, clothing and shelter. Truly, we can say with David, "My cup runneth over." It's a sad fact that most of us have to be without something before we really appreciate what God has given us. This concept is no different in the spiritual realm. We live in an age and a country where we can and do enjoy peace. However, most of us forget to thank God for peace because we've never experienced life in a war-torn country. We take peace for granted when many people are suffering the physical dangers and psychological torments that are accompanied with war. If a person in that situation could make a deal with God, he or she probably would vow to never complain about anything again if only God would bring peace to their country. More importantly, this concept is applicable to the spiritual realm in a religious nature. Of all the people that we read about in history, we are by far the most fortunate. Primarily, this is true because we live under grace and not under law. That is, there's no longer a set of rules and regulations that we must follow to be accepted by God. We no longer have to bring forth sacrifices to remit our sins for just another year, but rather through repentance and baptism, our sins are forever washed away. Instead of looking around for a sheep without blemish for a daily sacrifice, we continually offer up praises and thanksgiving to God that come before him as a sweet-smelling savor. We no longer have to go through a priest to get to God, but rather we have Jesus, the High Priest, as our continual intercessor. Indeed, it is a wonderful blessing that we often take for granted to live under the Christian dispensation. We also live in a time in which we have free access to the written Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. This in itself is a glorious blessing that we could not emphasize enough. The next time our Bible starts to collect dust, let's remember that many prophets, righteous men, and even angels desired to see the things that have been revealed unto us through the Holy Scriptures. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 17, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." We also read in 1 Peter 1 and 10 through 12, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." These passages should indeed be humbling to us and help us to be sincerely grateful for our Bible. We also live in a country where we can read that book without fear of what other men might do to us. We can hold public assemblies of God's church and openly read and teach His will for man. You know, it was only a few hundred years ago when this was not possible. The Roman Church dominated the entire known world and publicly burned at the stake anyone who taught what they considered heresy. Possession of a Bible for the common person was not only forbidden, but was next to impossible. In China, which has the largest population of any other country, there's a similar situation that exists today. What an enormous blessing we have that we so often take for granted. Our tongues and our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving and praise to God Almighty for the many blessings we have to enjoy. You know, these blessings can be taken away, and perhaps they should be if we are unappreciative of them. Now, I don't imagine that God expects us to go down the list and attempt to thank Him for every little thing that we have. This would be impossible to do anyway. I do think, however, that God expects us to be appreciative of everything, from the breath of life to the water that we drink, to the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks. How could this scripture mean anything less? I don't believe that we should expect anything. For as the scripture also says, as we've read, what do we have that we didn't receive? Reason only dictates that if we have received everything, then at one time we had nothing. And if at one time we had nothing, then we ought to be thankful for all that we now have and consider them great privileges. There is not anything that this does not apply to, for even life itself is a gift that we were once without. As Americans, we need to quit thinking of things that we have and opportunities that we have as rights or things we deserve. Rather, think of them as privileges. As Christians, we need to realize that God can take these privileges away from us just as He gave them to us. We can then thank God for the time that we had to enjoy these privileges. If we as Christians would like to think that we have rights, then let's consider what truly our rights are. The Apostle Paul deals with this subject in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and I'd like to begin by reading verses 18 through 21. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In some of Paul's lists, we find that word unthankful as descriptive of a very undesirable and sinful characteristic that we often have. In this context, however, we find it associated with glorifying him not as God. Being unthankful is a way that we don't glorify God. This is an attitude that many people have, and ungodly characteristics are what grow out of unthankfulness. In the remainder of this chapter, verses 22 through 31, the Apostle Paul talks about some of the characteristics that result from the sin of unthankfulness. Paul then completes this exhortation by revealing to us just what our rights or things we deserve are when we are unthankful or any of the other things in this list. And we'll read in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of or deserve death. What you and I are worthy of is precisely what our rights are. So next time we demand our rights, let's hope that God doesn't strike us with a bolt of lightning, because what we are really demanding is death. The fact is, we don't have any rights as we think of them, and the only thing we really deserve is death. This is especially true when we become unthankful for the true riches that God and Christ have blessed us with. Remember that with an unthankful attitude, we are no longer able to glorify God, which is our very purpose of being here. As we read about God's dealings with the Israelites, and as we look around us, we find some striking resemblances. It seems that it's almost second nature for us as humans to complain all the time. Have you ever heard of a compliment box? I've seen quite a few complaint boxes. Don't guess I've ever heard of a compliment box. Perhaps next time I see one of these boxes, I'll submit my complaint about the box itself. We also learn from the Old Testament stories and from looking around us that complaining is like a contagious disease. It appears that even Moses himself got a little spell of this sickness from the infected multitude. Have you ever noticed or been a part of a complaint session? This is when a group of people get around, perhaps at dinner, and complain about everything from the way Brother so-and-so gives lessons to the authorities that God has placed over us. On the contrary, have you ever overheard a group of people standing around and praising God for everything in sight? I know I haven't. But, you know, enthusiasm is also highly infectious, and greatly needs both donors and recipients. Fortunately for the Israelites and for us, God is very merciful and can put up with a lot. However, there is a limit. We need to wake up to the fact that this disease that we're talking about can lead to death. Let's read in Numbers 11 and verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Considering all that we have in Christ Jesus, what a sight we must be to God when we whine and complain about things that we don't have. There is a step between the state of contentment, which we are commanded to be in, and discontentment, which we are in when we complain. That step is becoming weary and well-doing. The scripture also admonishes us not to fall into this. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, we read, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It's a similar reading in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. I'd also like for us to read in Hebrews 12, verses 3 and 4. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." We could lose our health, and it might be what we need in order to appreciate good health. We could lose our freedom to own and study a Bible, and certainly we would learn to appreciate a country that follows Bible principles in its government. In China, there are prison labor camps where goods are manufactured by men and women who are beaten, abused, tortured, and starved to death for not producing what is expected of them. How thankful I am that our nation and government was founded on Bible principles. This too could be taken away, and perhaps should be, as we grow more and more unappreciative and unthankful to God for what we have. Judgment will be greatly based upon how much we appreciate what God has done for us. Our genuine appreciation or thankfulness will be manifest by the way that we conduct our daily lives. For example, we express to God our genuine appreciation for the sacrifice of His Son by offering our own lives a living sacrifice. We make known to Him our heartfelt gratefulness for His mercy to us by being merciful to others. And the Scripture tells us mercy rejoices against judgment in James 2:13. Another result of the judgment day will be condemnation for those who do not appreciate what God has done for them. For example, if I abuse my body, whether by fornication, smoking, or any other way that is not pleasing to God, I am expressing my unthankfulness to Him for the temple that He provided for the Holy Spirit. God's judgment is then that He will destroy my soul in hell. We find this in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. We express our unthankfulness towards the Lord's church by not attending the assemblies, our unthankfulness for His word by not reading it, etc. Not necessarily for these sins in particular do we face possible condemnation, but more so for being unthankful, I believe. If we have a sincere appreciation for what God has done for us, then we will in turn do all that we can for Him in this life. For us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Paul told us we should, is a feeble sacrifice at that. It appears even more feeble when we consider what God has already done for us and promised that He will do for us if we remain faithful to the end. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever our burdens or our labors, whatever it is in this life that gets us down, it becomes easier for us when we take our focus off our own lives and what we don't have. It becomes easier when we focus on the life of Jesus Christ. When we learn to fully appreciate what Jesus has done for us and continues to do for us, when we can more completely comprehend the suffering that Jesus went through for us, then our woes suddenly become trivial. In fact, when we grow to a more complete appreciation of what Christ has done for us, we would even rejoice if we could be counted worthy to suffer for Him, as Peter and John did. When we reach the state of contentment and appreciation that we should, then it will be easy for us to let God have back the life that He has given us and offer it as a living sacrifice. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He also said in 1 Timothy 6 and 6-8, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." I sincerely believe that the key to inward joy and contentment is to simply quit brooding over what we don't have and begin to focus on what we do have. No matter how physically impoverished we might be, or how poor health we might suffer, we can be wealthy in Christ Jesus if we will focus on Him and follow after Him. Likewise, no matter how much money we might have or how good of health, if we don't have Jesus Christ and His teachings in our lives, then we are poor and blind and naked. If our focus is on ourselves and not on Jesus Christ and His teachings, then we will be a miserable people in this life and without hope for eternal life. So then, let's show God our sincere appreciation for what He has done for us with our lips and giving of thanks, but more importantly, with our actions to show our thanks. The Apostle John says in 1 John 3:18, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's be doers and not hearers only of God's word, thus showing him our appreciation and expressing to him our love as he expressed to us, not with mere words, but in giving his son's life. Thank you for your kind attention.